Our scripture lessons this morning, our first lesson is from Galatians 6, verses 1 to 10. I would ask you to follow along on the screen, or if you desire, you can look that up on page 1816 in the Pew Bible. Brothers and sisters, hear the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Our second reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 33 to 36, and that's on page 1515, if you choose. Otherwise, please follow along on the screens. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Bill. So what is the D word anyway? I think a whole sermon on the word duh would be really nice, right? I like it. Good. Thanks, Jalissa. I'm a planner. I like to plan ahead for situations. I like to think through the actions that I'm going to take. And most of the time, that works out pretty well. But there are times that no amount of planning will possibly make a difference. Those times when action is needed, the spur of the moment, something unforeseen takes place. And as I was thinking about today's sermon, I was thinking about where do those actions come from? In those unforeseen circumstances, those times when the unplanned happens and you must act. How do you act when something unforeseen happens? Jesus says that a person's actions come out of the overflow of what is in their heart. Jesus says that if a tree is good, it produces good fruit, but if a tree is bad, then it produces bad fruit. So if you want to make a tree produce good fruit, the trick is not to work on the fruit, but to work on the tree. Right? A few weeks ago, we talked about the parable of the owner of the vineyard who had the fig tree and wanted to spread the manure among the roots so that the thing would bear some fruit. He didn't go stapling figs to the branches of the fig tree, right? Because while you might have figs that day, it wouldn't mean that more figs would grow on it the next day. But by working on the tree itself, you can affect some change. Paul writes in his letter to the Galatians that we reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. So based on all of these things, if you had to make any guess, what's the D word? Yes. Disciples. Oh, you are so close. In fact, you have almost all of the right letters there. You just add one more syllable to that and you've got it. Discipline. Discipline. The D word. The word that nobody likes to hear. Because when we think of discipline, what do we think of? Getting sent to the principal's office. Right? We think that we've done something bad and therefore we must be disciplined. We got to sit in the timeout chair. We're grounded for a week. Or, you know, whatever the case might be. Discipline in our minds, in our culture, is so wrapped up in these negative connotations. Right? But if discipline really does has as its root the same idea as disciple or discipleship, then it means that discipline is somehow a learning process for us. The Greek word for disciples is mathetes, which mathematics comes from. Mathematics is all about learning, about being a student. Discipleship is about being learners, right? So when we talk about in the church being lifelong learners, what we mean is being disciples or being disciplined in some way. See, discipline can have positive connotations to it as well. Anybody here run? Any runners? Nobody? Maybe we should. Your walk, okay, all right. We have coming up in May, the Wyckoff Reformed Church sponsors a walk from their church down to the Habitat for Humanity offices in Patterson. Something that we might want to consider getting ourselves involved in. It's an 8-mile walk from the far side of Wyckoff down to their offices on First Avenue in Patterson. All right? 8 miles. Now, if you have never walked a day in your life, you know, or you've only been walking for a few months, maybe a year, I think about Emma or I think about Holland and Henry, and I said, all right, kids, we're going to walk from Wyckoff Reform to Patterson Habitat for Humanity. Are they going to make it 8 miles? Why won't they make it? Come on, you just put one foot in front of the other and you do it, right? So why won't they make it? Because they're not strong enough, right? They haven't done it. They haven't built up enough stamina. Heck, there are some people here who have lived very many more years than they have who maybe couldn't walk 8 miles, even though part of it is downhill. That's a long way. Think about marathon runners or half marathon runners or 10K runners, or 5K runners, or the 1 mile fun run. If you haven't run, even going for a couple of seconds takes a lot out of you, right? It takes practice to get good at doing anything. It takes discipline. If you want to be a good musician, you don't just pick up the instrument and play. You have to practice, right? And if you want to be really good, then it takes more than just practice every now and again. It takes disciplined practice. They say that it takes 10,000 hours of doing something before you become an expert at it. So think about the things that you are good at. And think about if you spent 10,000 hours doing that thing, how much better you would be at it. You see, we apply this idea of discipline to a lot of things in our lives. You may be disciplined about going about your work. You may have routines in your job where you do the same thing over and over and over again. You develop a system and you get very good at that system. And your work increases, it improves. You get better at doing it as you go along. Why? Because you take the time to put together a game plan and then you stick to it. One of the things that the class is learning in Financial Peace University, which is meeting here on Thursday nights, is that when you are disciplined about how you spend your money, it feels like you've given yourself a raise. When you take the time to actually identify where each dollar of your paycheck is going, rather than just allowing it to leave, as it will if you don't pay attention to it, it grows legs and runs away, and you don't know what happened to it. You know, 30 cups of coffee later, and you're like, oh, I have no idea, right? But if you pay attention, you develop a game plan, and you stick to it, you get better, succeed. Now, why is it that we think about these things and everything about life except for our relationship with God? You see, we can't just stumble our way into a relationship with Christ. It's not a happy accident that people who are close to God are close to God. Right? Think about Jesus' disciples for a moment. They spent every waking hour with Jesus. And even they didn't understand until much, much later. There have been spiritual gurus over the years, spiritual fathers living out in the desert, spending every waking moment praying, living according to a certain set of rules. And why do they do these things? Because it takes discipline to develop a truly spiritual life. You talk with many people, and maybe some of those people are here in this room today, and you ask them about Christianity or whether they go to church. And the retort they often give is that they are spiritual, not religious. You've heard that before, right? I'm spiritual, not religious. But in truth, if we are really spiritual, then we are religious about our spirituality. We become disciplined in what we do. We should stand on the shoulders of giants here, folks. Generations upon generations of Christians who have gone on before us, paving the way so that we don't need to reinvent the wheel here. there are many spiritual practices available to us. And what better time than the 40 days in the season of Lent? 6 to 7 weeks for us to try out something new. Some new spiritual discipline, and discipline in the positive sense. Now, some of these disciplines might mean denying ourselves something that we consider to be good so that we can experience something which is better. And we do this all the time in our lives. We make choices all the time between A and B, and we hope anyway that the choices that we are making are taking us on a path toward more happiness and not less, right? Every decision in our lives is a decision between what is bad or good or something better. And what the disciplines are for us is an opportunity to maybe give up something that we consider to be good to experience something that might be even better yet. I think the fact that we are here today means that we are looking for some deeper connection with God. We probably wouldn't be here otherwise. We want to experience God more fully in our lives. Well, you don't help a tree to bear fruit by stapling fruit to the branches. You reap what you sow. What comes out of a person is from the overflow of their hearts. So over the next few Sundays, Pastor Tom and I are going to be introducing you to some of the classical disciplines of the Christian faith. Some you've heard of: prayer, fasting. Others you maybe haven't heard of: simplicity, Sabbath. But through this series, through this season of Lent, we want to develop something that becomes lifelong for us. They say it takes 21 days to develop lasting habits. Well, thankfully for us, if you add Sundays into the mix, Lent is twice as long as that. So if we start today developing these disciplines in our lives, chances are they will become lasting for us. Now, the reason for taking on disciplines is not so that we can boast about being better Christians. It's not so that God will bless us more. It's not as if we are doing these things as some kind of a means to an obvious end. It's because we love God. And because we want to experience God more fully in our lives. And if your prayer is that you would experience God more fully in your life, as it is mine, then consider living life just a little bit differently than you have been living it. Prayerfully consider taking on the D word, discipline, in your lives in this season of Lent. Let us pray together. Most holy God, we acknowledge that discipline is about the last thing that we want sometimes. We often try to run away from rules rather than lean into them. And yet we know from experience, Lord, that when we do apply ourselves systematically to something, we often improve at it. Lord, help us to recognize that if we want to deepen our relationship with you, if we want lives filled with more wisdom, if we want our prayer lives to be deeper, if we want to be more generous people, it means that we need a plan. So, Lord, help us to develop that for ourselves and for our church. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.